Thank you so much, Brother James, and I appreciate very much all the text messages I've received today and many prayers that have been offered on my behalf, on the behalf of Brother Ricky. I still don't feel any more comfortable with Zoom and preaching on Zoom than I did the first time I tried. But so pray this evening that the Lord will be blessed, will be exalted, and you'll be blessed perhaps in hearing this message. I mentioned many times, it's always interesting how we develop our subject matter for sermons is through prayerful consideration, and many times it's through our study of God's Word. And recently at Providence Church, Brother James Conley mentioned it's a big difference between studying and reading the Bible. So sometimes it comes through studying the Bible, sometimes through experiential things, sometimes through hearing good preaching, sometimes as a spinoff of another sermon that the Lord may have put upon our heart to preach. But tonight, with the Lord being our helper for a little while, we want to, if we can, Brother James Isaac calls it hitching my wagon. I like to hitch my wagon to a sermon that he preached on Saturday morning down at the Florida Fellowship meeting, and Brother James is extremely blessed and had some wonderful thoughts. We'll start where he started and may end up where he ended, but we'll go somewhere else in the middle. And again, we trust that. I'm not trying to re-preach Brother James' sermon. I would certainly not feel comfortable taking on that task. But go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. I'll read verse 2 as well in chapter 5. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. We go back to Brother James preached on, Brother James Isaac preached on the word moment, an indivisible part of time. Generally indicates an instant, but it could last for an extended period of time, an indefinite period of time. And Paul, the Apostle Paul here is talking about his light affliction is but for a moment. This is the same brother that a few verses later, a few chapters later, tells us about how he was beaten of the Jews, 40 lashes, save one. Three times he was beaten with rods. Once he was stoned. Thrice he suffered shipwreck. And all the perils that he faced that he describes in scripture. But he says that these are just a light affliction, which is but for a moment. Amazing that he could use that terminology with the things that the Apostle Paul experienced in his life. You know, I think about it so much. Brother James mentioned what his mom mentioned about the earthquake in Turkey and Syria. I don't know a person over there, but my heart has been broken for those people and the circumstances being buried under rubbish, and I can't even begin to fathom what they're experiencing, the heartache and the great sadness that they're incurring in that land right now. There's many, many in scripture that I find myself just thinking about their circumstances. You know, in John chapter 5, let me go back to Mark chapter 5 first. In Mark chapter 5, we find a lady that had an issue of blood for 12 years. It's just, she had spent all she had. She'd seen many physicians, and it was not better, but worse. Of course, we know how that turned out. But I think about that lady that dealt with that affliction, that precious sister who went to the Son of God as a pauper. And before she left, she was a princess. As he referred to, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. I thought about the one in John chapter 5. I remember Brother Ricky Harco preaching on this subject at Antioch Church one time about the man at the Pool of Bethesda who had been afflicted for 38 years, and people had been bringing him to that water's edge and waiting for the time that the angel would stir up the water, and the first one in would be healed of whatsoever issue they had. You know, I know I stress quite often in my efforts to preach what Job chapter 14, verse 1 tells us, that man who's born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. But that embraces everyone that's ever lived, everyone that's ever been born into this world. Certainly, we face great affliction. You know, Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5 is also another one of my favorite verses. Jeremiah 12:5 says something like this: if you have run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, how canst thou contend with the horses? And then the land of peace, when thou trusted, they wearied thee, how shalt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? I'm going to tell you, in our lifetimes, friends, sometimes the Jordan River swells. We're faced with great adversity. As I mentioned, man is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. But I want to focus our attention on what Brother James Isaac preached to us. And in Florida, it's only a light affliction, which is but for a moment. Compared to eternity, our passing through this earthly existence is just a shadow, just a blip on the screen, if you will. I think about these things, and I don't know if you call it a poem or not, but I remember this thing that I learned one time. It goes something like this. It's entitled, "This Too Shall Pass." This too shall pass. It says, if things are going bad, remember, it will not always be this way. Take it one day at a time. And I'll add to that, look up to the hills from which cometh all our help. The next stanza that says, when things are going good, remember, it will not always be this way. Enjoy every moment. The great instructions in God's word to help us deal with these times of adversity. I go this evening first off to Psalm 30. And you had to remember in God's word, the number 5 is a number associated with God's grace, which of course is a 5-letter word. And his favor, which is a 5-letter word. And the David in Psalm 30 begins Psalm 30 with this: I will extol thee, extol. Just a reminder, that word means to praise highly. Certainly he's worthy of praise. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from him. But as we look into a little further into this, you'll find 5 things that David says the Lord hath. H-A-S-T, which is the present tense verb. 5 things the Lord has done for him, or is doing, actually, when he says has. The first one he says is, thou hast lifted me up. Thou hast lifted me up. James 4:10, I think it is, says that humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. I can tell you without hesitation this evening, my dear friends, that at Providence Church a couple weeks back, at McClenny Church weekend before last, at Union Church when I returned home, when Brother Jeb was there to preach to our people, I've been lifted up above the cares and trials of this present world. He said, he has lifted me up. The next one he says, and another one, the second one he says there in Psalm 30, he says, thou hast not made my friends to rejoice, my enemies to rejoice over me. He said in that verse that he has not made my enemies to rejoice over me. I think about, what's that? I believe it's Proverbs 16:7. Says that a man whose ways please the Lord maketh his enemies to be at peace with him. A man whose ways please the Lord maketh his enemies to be at peace with him. I've heard Elder Wayne Myers, my precious daddy, say many times, he didn't say he would, they'd invite you to the birthday, to their birthday party or befriend you on Facebook, but they would live at peace with you if your ways please the Lord. The third way he says is thou hast, O Lord, I cried unto thee and thou hast healed me. That's what I'm praying tonight for my dear brother. Many times in life, he's healed us from the infirmities of this flesh. And certainly we need to extol him. We need to praise him highly for what he's done for us. That one caused me to veer off to Psalm 103, which talks about our benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Again, we have 5 benefits listed here that the Lord blesses us with. And I heard Brother David Burris preach on this one time. I pray I'll never do anything in my life that I would forfeit these benefits. And those benefits listed there, 1 through 5, are who forgiveth all thine iniquities. What would you trade for that benefit tonight? Who healeth all thy diseases? Who redeemeth my life from destruction? Who crowneth me with tender kindness and loving mercy and tender kindness? I may reverse that. Who satisfieth my mouth with good things? Now we go back to Psalm 30 again, where the list of five. Thou hast lifted me up. Thou hast caused my enemies not to rejoice over me. Thou hast healed me. And it says here that, and it's as this is already done, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. You know, that passage in Genesis 35 is a bitter, sweet account in God's word when that precious sister Rachel gave birth to a son that she named Benoni, which means the son of my travail or the son of my sorrow. But Jacob called him Benjamin, the son of my right hand. But it said they were on the way to Bethlehem. They were at Ephrath, I think it was. And in child labor, we find it said in scripture there, I think in Genesis 35, about verse 8, somewhere in there, it says that as her soul was in departing, for she died. Certainly that's a great affliction in this life, a great sadness. And at that moment, I'm sure. And I thought about Benjamin being raised without his mother. That doesn't seem like a light affliction, does it? But compared to eternity and what the Lord suffered at the cross of Calvary, our afflictions are just a light afflictions in this present world. They only last for a moment. And then the fifth one there, and that, he says, thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down into the pit. What a blessing it is. Think about those five benefits that listed in Psalm 103, the five ways the Lord has blessed us that's mentioned in Psalm 30. We'll go over to, let's see, I want to go over to Exodus chapter 33 for a few minutes. In Exodus 33, we find an account where the Lord appears to Moses and makes a few statements that are very important to Moses. He said that, I have sent my angel before thee to drive out all thine enemies, the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. I mean, given those in order, but he said, I've gone before thee to drive out thine enemies. He mentioned that land of milk and honey that he promised to the offspring of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And also there, but he mentioned, said, but thou art a stiff-necked people. Thou art a stiff-necked people, obstinate, difficult to lead. You know, you think about it, say when in the wilderness there, as they crossed the Red Sea, they had made that trip not too long before. And when Jacob passed away, there was a funeral procession back to Canaan's land. It took them 11 days. It's what it should have taken them. Because of the sin of unbelief and disobedience, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. When an 11-day trip takes you 40 years, you veered off course without question. Anyway, and something sad is about to happen here. The Lord tells Moses, said, I want you to go up from hence, but I will not go with you. I will not go with you for fear that I may consume you in the way for your stiff-neckedness. And it mentioned in scripture that the first thing that happened is they laid aside their ornaments. It said below that where the Lord told them to lay aside their ornaments. And I don't know which one happened first, but friends, I tell you this evening, we need to lay aside our ornaments. Ornaments in this case was jewelry to be flashy, and they call it bling, I think, in today's present world. The Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. I doubt at any time in his life he put on ornaments. But what he did do, he took upon sin. What a Savior we serve. Again, I tell you, in our personal lives, it's time that we put away the ornaments. In the previous chapter, in chapter 32, we'd find a sad situation where they had taken their gold and Aaron told, when you look at the body language, as Aaron told Moses, that we just put this in the fire and it came out this calf. I think Moses believed that for an instant. I knew he had to be so disappointed in Aaron, his brother. So look what led us out of Egyptian bondage. But the Bible says he fashioned it with a graven tool. But they cast their ornaments aside there at Mount Horeb, which Bible scholars tell me it's the same as Mount Sinai. And they began to develop a sense of worship, an attitude of worship, if you will. They had a tabernacle of the congregation there. And it was without the camp. It was within a short distance from the camp. I don't know exactly how far away it was, but the Israelites went there to worship. And on this occasion, Moses went there. And as Moses went to that tabernacle of the congregation, the other Israelites observed him, and they stood in the door of their tent until Moses went inside. And the Bible says that there was a cloudy pillar that descended from heaven. And the Lord spake with Moses face to face. And I love how it says there in Exodus chapter 33, he said, it spake to him as a man speaketh to his friend. There's a country music song that a girl from Mississippi wrote. I think she lives in Georgia now. But in one of the lines of that song, it says, I talk to God like he's my best friend. Have you ever heard anybody pray like that? I can give you names and addresses if you want to. In congregations where you can go and hear somebody pray who talks to God like he's their best friend. And it said those in worship in the door of their tents as Moses communed with God. He had said that, I'm not going to go with you. I want you to go from hence, but I'm not going with you. I'm not going, and because I may consume you in the way because of your stiff-necked people that are among the Israelites after all that I've done for you. And Moses said, Lord, I know I found grace in your sight. And the Lord told him, said, I will be gracious unto whom I will be gracious. I will have mercy upon whom I will be mercy. I will hide thee in the cleft of the rock. Friends, there is no better security than being hid in the cleft of the rock. And we go over to Numbers chapter 16, and we find another occasion where a man by the name of Korah, I believe is the way he pronounced it, he's a great-grandson of Levi. And he and 250 princes of renown from the congregation, they were well-known. They had been set aside for the work in the Lord's house, but not. They had been given the leadership role that Aaron and Moses had been given. But they went before and asked them, said, why, to Moses there, they said, why do you lift yourself up above the congregation when all the congregation is holy? Now, for just a moment, I'm going to go back to where we were in Psalm 30. We want to go to verse 4 and 5 now. Verse 4 says something like this. It said, sing praises and all unto the Lord, ye saints of his, and give thanks for every remembrance of his holiness. Give every remembrance of his holiness. In verse 5, it says, but his anger is for a moment. And then his favor is life. Weeping endureth for a moment, but joy cometh in the morning. But he interacted with Korah, who had come forth asking Moses there, why do you lift yourself above the congregation when the whole congregation is holy? I caution you, is what David said over in Psalm 30, to give thanks at every remembrance of his holiness. I'm going to point out something to you in just a minute. Goes into what I mentioned earlier, Brother James kindly talking about study God's word, because we need to break it down and look at it very carefully. But in this passage in Numbers 16, when they made that statement to Moses, the Bible says he fell upon his face. He began to pray about the matter, I believe. And he said, tomorrow, he told Korah, said, tomorrow the Lord will show you who are holy, who are his and who is holy. That verse, who is plural, who are his, that refers to the elect family of God, I believe, in that passage. Who is holy is singular. I believe it refers to God. The Lord told Moses there and said, sanctify yourself, remove yourself from this congregation that I may consume Korah. In a moment, and you read a little bit further in Numbers 16, you'll find that the earth opened, and opened its mouth, I think it said, and swallowed up all that appertained to Korah. Friends, there's a great difference in these two passages of scripture. Both of them have been threatened to be consumed. But one became very faithful and turned back, repented from their wicked ways, and sought the Lord's face. And the Lord came down in the cloudy pillar. And then Korah refused to, saying that the whole congregation was Korah, and questioning God about choosing Moses to lead these children of Israel. You know, I want to go to Job chapter 20. Job chapter 20. I may have to turn and get this out. I'll try to quote it without it, but let me go there. I apologize. Job chapter 20. I apologize. Give me time to turn there. Very important part of it should be under consideration this evening. Look at verse 4 with me in chapter 20 of the book of Job. Knowest thou not this of old, since man was placed upon the earth? Now, when was that? Going back to Adam? Going back to Father Adam. That the triumphing of the wicked is short and the joy of the hypocrite, but for a moment. Think about that for a minute. The triumphing of the wicked is short and the joy of the hypocrite, but for a moment. I think Brother David Montgomery, sometimes I'm cautious to accredit things spoken in the pulpit to different ministers because I may have it confused, but I believe it's him one time that said, you know, there's a lot of people in this world that we put a lot of, that this world puts a lot of prestige with and puts them up on a pedestal and idolizes them and pay hundreds of dollars to go watch them perform in whatever aspect of their life they have skill. And, you know, I remember in Psalm 73, it tells us I was envious at the prosperity of the wicked until I went into the sanctuary and understood I therein. I think Brother Dave Montgomery said, well, there's some people on this earth that we put a lot of praise and even idolize that he said, I don't think the Lord thinks much of. And sometimes I will Google the net worth of individuals, and I kind of like Chris Tomlin from the contemporary Christian music world. And I look up his net worth is about $2 million. That's not bad. That's several zeros more than I have in the bank. But I will Google the net worth of some of these so-called musicians that the lyrics of their music is just horrible, just horrendous. They'll be worth $175 million. And I don't understand it. I don't understand that, but what I do understand is what God says about it. The triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite is but for a moment. One of my favorite stories from the world of when I was coaching, one time we were playing the parochial school up in Vicksburg, Mississippi, St. Aloysius High School, and I was coaching the girls, and another gentleman was coaching the boys, and he was highly respected, a good disciplinarian, and there was a strange configuration somewhat to St. Aloysius Gym. All the fans sat on one side, and the scoreboard was directly up over your head. And most of the time on the scoreboard, you'll have home to the left top corner and then guests to the right. Their scoreboard was just reversed. And I still don't understand why I wasn't driving the bus home that night, but I was sitting on the second row. The scorekeeper sitting in the first row in front of me, and this boys' coach is sitting right across the aisle from me, and we'd won 63-56. I still remember it. And I noticed at the end of the game that he didn't act like we had a lead because he didn't try to delay the clock and be more patient and so forth. A little more of a sense of urgency than I would have had in that situation. And we had got too far out of Vicksburg, and I was sitting across the aisle from him, and I was sitting right close to this on the outer edge of the seat. And I said, Coach, that was a good win for you tonight. He looked at me very, very puzzled and said, we didn't win. I thought he was kidding for a second. And I said, yeah, we won. He said, hand me my scorebook. He got his scorebook and looked and found out we did win. He went to kicking his legs and got all excited and very animated fellow. You know, sometimes in life, the ones we think are winning are losing. And the thing, sometimes we think we're losing, we're winning. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Friends, we have a home not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And I'll close this evening with, like I say, Brother James probably went here, and I don't remember exactly. There was a lot of good preaching down in Florida, but you know where I'm going, over 1 Corinthians chapter 15, about verse 49. It says how we bear the image of the earthy, and we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. That's being clothed from heaven that we talked about a few minutes ago, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says in verse 51, it says, "Behold, I show you a mystery, that we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. For in a moment," this is the moment I want to get to, Brother James, Isaacs. "This is the moment I'm looking forward to. For in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we shall be changed." What a day that will be, when we put on that heavenly, we found in the image of God. He made God in our image in the beginning. God did. He said, "Let us make men in our own image." But in that day, we'll be in a glorified body, incorruptible, and we'll be in a place where we'll wipe away all tears from our eyes. There'll be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, and no more pain. And although we have afflictions in this present world, man is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. But it's one sweet day. Our trials will be over. And we will realize that we're home at last with the King of Glory, who rose triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. And I look forward to the day when I awaken his likeness and I'm satisfied. May God bless you this evening. My prayer, Brother James.